Greetings. Greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you through the events of the week on the lens of original thought, through the events on the lens. You'd be like an ant getting cooked if I put you on the lens of original thought. Certainly don't want you straying off over there. Let's just focus on the events of the week. Why? I don't know why. I'm starting to lose interest in the events of the week. And so this, the podcast here, the Weekly Worldview, may come to an end fairly shortly because I'm no longer interested. The more I focus on studying the Bible, the less I am interested in all of the news. And so fair warning that I may end the podcast at any moment. Maybe halfway through the show today, I may just walk off. I won't do that, but this may be coming to an end. Why? Well, stories like this from the politics file. Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, don't want to confuse him with Mike Johnson. Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, arla. That's Breitbart puts a parenthesis, arla, which means Republican Louisiana, but I'll just read it. Arla, Mike Johnson. He's teaming up with John Boehner, the ousted Speaker of the House from a while back who was ousted because he was too liberal. And then he started pushing legalized marijuana, and he worked for the marijuana lobby for a while until they got fed up with him. They realized he's just a no-show guy. Not even the pot lobby could put up with John Boehner. But Boehner is now working for Squire Patton Boggs, a lobbying firm, which John Boehner is good for one thing, sitting around the lobby. And so that he's good for them. They're good for him. He's good for them. And he is hosting a fundraiser in Ohio, which I think is where Boehner's from. Anyway, Boehner's hosting a fundraiser in Ohio, and Mike Johnson, new Speaker of the House, arla, is going to be there, along with the executives at Squire Patton Boggs, and the event is hosted by an outfit called Grow the Majority, no matter what you have to do, no matter what we have to sacrifice, no matter what. Grow the Majority, that's all that can. Why? Because it grows the bank account. He's with an outfit called Grow the Bank Account, no matter what. No matter what fundamental ideals and principles we have to sacrifice, if we have to sell marijuana, whatever we have to do, grow the majority. That's grow the majority, right? With the pot lobby and all that. So that's what John Boehner's up to. And oddly enough, I predicted that the sudden collapse of all opposition to electing a speaker. Remember, they had 27 votes, and then suddenly all opposition vanished when Mike Johnson appeared out of nowhere, by the way. I had never heard of the guy before he became Speaker of the House. I want someone to do an investigation and find out if he even existed before being elected Speaker. Is this the first deep fake politician generated by AI? He didn't even exist. I mean, as far as I know. So someone needs to check that out. And now that he's hanging out with John Boehner, all my worst fears come true. And I realize that concerning myself with politics is probably a waste of time. No. It's worse than a waste of time. It's deleterious to my mental and physical health. Yet I do it all the time, and it's probably not good for me anymore. I may be getting too old to be entertained by the news any longer. That might be it. I'm no longer entertained. I remember toward the end of his life, Bob Enyart had just lost all interest in the news, and I used to come in once a week on his show and try to talk to him about the news, and I could tell he just wasn't interested anymore. He had moved on to more interesting things, more important things, eternal things. And so I may be getting there. I may be, in this next story, Mitt Romney. I see the name Mitt Romney. I'm like, why am I doing this? Mitt Romney, are you kidding me? Is there any point? Okay, but let's continue. I'm going to finish the show today no matter what. I promise. This comes to us from the widespread panic file where Mitt Romney is warning us that the government is not data. They're not collecting enough data and reporting enough to him about the bird flu. He says a lot of people are frightened. I know. I'm like, well, really, Mitt? I mean, who are you hanging around with? He says, because the government is not collecting and disseminating enough information, a lot of people are frightened. And fear, of course, Mitt warns us, can create challenges and harms to the American people, unquote. And Mitt knows all about that. Mitt knows all about harming, frightening, and challenging the American people with fear. He knows all about it. So our question to Mitt, of course, is who's frightened, Mitt, besides you and the people you want us to think are frightened? Because as far as we can tell, nobody's frightened. And Mitt has a problem with that. He's convinced that with the CDC and the Department of Agriculture on board, we could have some fright out there. Where's the panic? For crying out loud, Mitt Romney's worried there's no panic, there's no fear. How can that be? Mitt Romney stands astride the Department of Agriculture and the CDC, and he can't gin up enough panic to clog a doorway. What's going on, Mitt? He's like, what, have I lost control? Where's my magic touch? Mitt says, I want to see the federal government report what they're doing to make sure that that the bird flu can be prevented from, heaven forbid, says Mitt. And when Mitt Romney says, heaven forbid, you need to pay attention. Right? Because this guy works directly for Satan. Or whoever is Satan's top minion on the planet right now, that's Mitt Romney's direct employer. So when Mitt Romney says, heaven forbid, something needs to be prevented, pay attention to what he says next. And he says, bird flu needs to be prevented from entering our food system. So right there, right now, you know what I'm worried about now? Is some panic being generated around our food system. Why? Because Mitt Romney just said that. And Mitt Romney has access to the corridors of power at the Department of Agriculture and the Centers for Disease and Other Things. I know the Centers for Disease Control. I don't know if you can call it that anymore. The Centers for Disease Hysteria and Panic and Stupidity and Foolishness and Romneyisms and the food supply. So isn't that the dream of every tyrant is to somehow control the food supply, food and water. I know, we take it for granted. Give these psychopathic, insane perverts control, an opportunity to frighten you into gaining control of your food supply, and COVID will be a tiptoe through the tulips, for crying out loud, what they managed to do. You let them freak people out about the food supply. All right, now. Speaking of all that, let's go to the legacy building file because, you know, every president toward the end of his tenure in office tends to focus on projects around legacy building. And so Joe Biden, the people running Joe Biden, apparently anticipating that Joe Biden will be departing the White House relatively soon, are engaged in legacy building, and they're building it offshore of Ashkelon in the Eastern Mediterranean off the coast of Israel on the Biden Pier. Have we reported on the Biden Pier? He asked his extremely attractive audio engineer. She wasn't paying that close attention. Not sure. What's that? Well, the U.S. military has finished building the Biden Pier, which is a floating pier floating off the coast of Gaza. That's right. It's a giant pier built by Joe Biden primarily. I mean, as far as anyone knows, he's the one who's going to get the credit. Trust me on this one. That's guaranteed. That's right. I don't know where I got this story from. Some mainstream media outlet They tally, is it called tally-ho? No. The ballyhoo is the word I was looking for. With great ballyhoo, construction work was completed nearly 2 weeks ago, but poor weather, quote unquote, had prevented the pier from moving into its final position off of Ashkelon. That poor weather included mortars coming from Hamas out of Gaza. Landing in, not on the pier yet, but around the pier. And then there was clouds, there was high seas, and then there were the mortars. But Thursday, overnight, the pier was finally moved into its position off of Ashkelon, Gaza there. And the pier, the Biden pier, is ready to start accepting aid. The mainstream media reminds us that aid is needed now more than ever because the Rafah crossing into Egypt has been closed and people are starving and children are starving. Why are children starving in Rafah? Because Hamas attacked Israel on October 7th and slaughtered all those people and basically led everyone into a deluge of darkness and hell on purpose. Why? So that people would hate the Jews. And their operation has been fairly successful amongst the unenlightened. The unenlightened hate the Jews now more than they did on October 6th, 2023. And the starving children and the women dying and the men being slaughtered and blown up in their apartments, that's all just collateral damage for Hamas and the forces of darkness. Now I've lost track of where I was. Oh, the pier, the Biden pier. That's right, of course. Aid is needed more than ever because the Egyptians closed the border. Why? Because the Egyptians have some common sense. They know better than to have an open corridor with the terrorists. So what do the perverts running the Western democracies do? They build a pier so that they can have a corridor with the terrorists. Okay, now the process of getting aid into Gaza, would you like to know what that's like? Well, it all starts, according to the criminally insane sex cult that seized Western civilization, they claim that getting aid into Gaza starts on the island of Cyprus, and it's all controlled by them because they control everything. They're in charge, and they know what's going on. All aid will be inspected, palletized, and loaded onto ships. And ships, by the way, that are expressly assigned to the mission only by them, the sex cult. They're in charge of everything. They have control of everything. They have eyes everywhere. They can see everything. They know what's going on. Don't worry. This is all being run by the United States and partner nations. Partner nations, you know. Not allied like back and then, like with men and all. We're partners, you know, like fags. Partner nations, and we're running everything. We can see what's going on. So the United Nations will be responsible for receiving aid on the ground in Gaza, they say with a straight face, as if we're supposed to believe that. The UN will receive the aid on the ground in Gaza and coordinate distribution of the aid. Uh-huh, yeah. Sure. No, Hamas won't be involved. I mean, the men with all the guns who control every inch of Rafah, whatever the Jews don't control at this point. Oh, they won't be in charge of distributing the aid. No, it'll be the United Nations with the blue helmets and the no guns. They'll be in charge. Don't you worry. Along with their partners. They're just reality check. Just for everyone, first of all, anything going in on boats over that pier does not necessarily start in Cyprus and is not necessarily overseen by anyone, except whoever has the most money, the most guns, and the most ability to bribe the whoever's in charge on the ground in Cyprus and wherever. That's who's in charge. Hamas will coordinate distribution of aid primarily to Hamas. For whatever they don't trade for drugs, guns, or prostitutes. But don't worry, we have a quote here from Vice Admiral Cooper. Vice Admiral Cooper says, yay, the pier is done, don't worry. While delivering aid to a region on the brink of famine presents its own security issues, let alone the dangers of being in an active war zone, don't worry, no U.S. troops will even set foot in Gaza. It's the Weekly Worldview. Thank you for joining us for perhaps the ultimate Weekly Worldview, perhaps the penultimate. I'll try to give you some heads up for when I decide to pull the plug on this thing. Just be like the Biden peer. So my prediction is something so catastrophically embarrassing will happen with this peer that even Joe Biden will not be able to be protected from it. That's, and I can't tell exactly what it's going to be, but it's just going to be terrible. It's almost as if someone talked him into doing that to set him up for the ultimate political embarrassment. It's almost as if that happened.
Is he even aware?
No, he's not really aware. So hence, that's how you get talked into the Biden peer. Okay, so from the Biden peer, we continue on with the... here we go. Here's a story reported without irony by the Jerusalem Post in the midst of the Gaza war. The Jerusalem Post publishes this story. The United States State Department has issued a worldwide security alert. That's right. They are aware of increased potential for foreign terrorist organizations inspired violence against. Everyone's on the edge of their seat. Who? Who is the threat against? Who do the terrorists have to single out next? Is it the Jews? Is it the Americans? Is it New York City? No. It might be New York City. It's the LGBTQ plus people and events all over the world, no matter where it is. That's right. The terrorists have set their sights on terrorizing LGBTQ people, plus people and events. The Department of State advises U.S. citizens overseas, especially if you're a sex pervert, to exercise increased caution. And that doesn't just mean the regular protection. You need to protect against terrorism, too. Not just monkeypox. It's not just monkeypox this summer, boys. It's scarier. It's terrorists. They're coming for us. The alert comes. Now listen to this. This is reported unironically by the Jerusalem Post. In the midst of the Gaza war, they say the alert from the U.S. State Department against terrorism against LGBTQ plus people comes on the International Day Against Homophobia, Biphobia, Introphobia, and Transphobia. All phobias. We're against them. All of them. I mean, phobias against LGBTQ plus. That's right. The alert came on the International Day Against Homophobia, Biphobia, Interphobia, Transphobia. Did you know that was the day? That was last Thursday, apparently, was that day. And that's just weeks before the start of LGBTQ plus Pride Month, which you can't just call it Pride Month anymore because that's not inclusive enough. We need to point out exactly who's being proud and exactly about what. And these are piles of sex perverts who are proud of the fact that they're in a pile and forcing everyone to look at them, which we'd rather just look away. This is another reason I want to end the show, is because I can no longer look at this without it damaging my own psyche. I can't look upon the filth, the things that shouldn't even be discussed in the darkest corners of a courtroom by a prosecutor are vomited out all over the news and on your computer screen all the time. And looking at it is bad for you. And I'm tired of looking at it. Speaking of being tired of looking at it, U.S. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken made a statement about the terror threat against the LGBTQI plus community. He added the I in there. Before the end of the story, it went from LGBTQ plus to LGBTQI plus. You can't even get through two paragraphs before they're foisting another perversion to be proud of upon us, making us look upon it. I don't know what the I is. Maybe it's just I, just to represent the selfishness that's at the base of all of this. I, the me, Pride Month. Look at me. I'm so proud. What did Anthony Blinken have to say? He says the LGBTQI plus community continues to face insidious forms of stigma and discrimination.
Whoa.
Stigma? I thought this was a terror alert. Is that the terrorists are going to come out and they're going to, what are they going to do? They're going to go shame, shame at the door of the gay bars? Stigma? Discrimination? What is Hamas going to come out and say no gays in Palestine, no trans in Gaza? No. Well, no, they wouldn't speak with a lisp. I'm sorry, I'm getting a bit confused because the whole subject is confusing. The terrorists will be saying no trannies in Gaza. You are not welcome here. We discriminate against you. We will not let you into the bars in Rafah. You are not allowed in the tunnels if you are gay, or L, or G, or B, or T, or Q, or I, or any, even plus. You will not be allowed in the tunnels. You will not be allowed in the bars. You will not be allowed to assemble explosives for us. We discriminate against you. They throw their shoe at him. That's the terror alert for the... All right, now. From there we go to the crime of the century file, where we've got a story from the freepress.com, which is apparently this is a mainstream media outlet disguised as a conservative outlet by someone who says they left the New York Times because it was too liberal. And so the conservative media links to stories from the freepress.com, which is thefp.com, because, well, she was conservative enough to leave the New York Times, which means she's probably a leftist fanatic. But the New York Times has gone, like, totally overboard. So even the leftist, communist, homosexualist, pervert, I don't know what else. I don't have any more adjectives. But even they can't work for the Times anymore. So they open up shop on the internet, and they get linked to by the conservative news aggregators as if they're conservative, because there really are no conservatives left anymore. I mean, there's only a few. How do you know a conservative? He has less than 300 followers on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, whatever. Less than 300, and everything he puts out is at least an hour long. No, I'm just kidding. I know there are some conservatives who are exceptions to that rule, but very few. And if you want a list of them, then you need to personally message me and I'll send them to you, because I'm the only one who knows about them. Now, from the crime of the century file, the Free Press reports that the business of resettling migrant children is a gold mine for a handful of NGOs. Right? That's the headline. So this article is going to lament the fact that $500 million has been expended from the coffers that you and I pay our taxes. Basically, our tax money is funding these NGOs to resettle migrant children, and we should be upset about the NGOs making all this money off of us, the taxpayers. But what I'm upset about is the resettling of migrant children. What's up with that? Who's running these NGOs? As you start looking into who runs these NGOs, it's a pile of sex perverts and leftist communist liberals. What do leftist communist liberal sex perverts do? They molest children. And so these people have ended up atop these NGOs funded by the government resettling migrant children. In fact, the federally funded program is specifically about resettling unaccompanied children. Well, I don't trust these perverts with unaccompanied children. First of all, I'm not so mad about the money. The money's the secondary thing. What are they doing to these kids? Where are all these kids going? Is anybody looking into where these children are going? What's happening to them? The government, according to the Free Press, has delegated much of the task to perverts running non-governmental organizations, NGOs. NGOs. That sounds like a venereal disease, by the way. Oh, no, you got NGO? Yeah, oh, bummer. Is there like a shot for that? I hope so. Anyway, there's been a massive influx of unaccompanied children, not just into the United States, by the way. This is going on all over the world. 130,000 unaccompanied children were reported in the United States just in 2022. That's the last year for which anybody was able to count them. And who knows how many. And then we have quotes from people who say, well, the amount of taxpayer money is obscene. The fraud, waste, and abuse. So when this is all said and done, it'll rival the COVID fraud, waste, and abuse, says some. Who cares? Somebody counting the money. And then the free press gives us the tally, $597 million in 2019, $2 billion in 2022 to kidnap children. Because where are they going? Nobody knows. Well, these NGOs know as far as we know, but they may not be telling. They're a bunch of perverts. The money will turn out to be the least of the offenses uncovered with whatever's happening with all these kids. So you've got a government run by a pile of criminally insane sex cultists paying piles of other faggots and perverts to kidnap and exploit children. Is that what's going on? That's what I suspect is going on. Call me a conspiracy theorist. This will be another one of the candidates for the top 10 crimes of all time that just so happened to have been occurring in my lifetime. Has anyone else noticed that since Barack Obama took office, a lot of children have been purposely displaced and moved around by the Western political leaders? I mean, you go all the way back to the whatever the revolution was there in the Middle East with the Arabs. It was the Arab Spring. How many hundreds of thousands of little children were scattered all over the world and then gathered up by these pervert NGOs? And then you've got Ukraine. You've got Africa, which is a perpetual a fire hose of unaccompanied children. And now coming up through Mexico from all over the world. I want to know what's going on. I suspect it's a lot worse than they're just stealing our money and lining the pockets of chief executives and executives at the NGOs. I think it's a lot worse than that because I think these people are a lot worse than that. You know, when the political divide in America evolved from arguing over the mill levy and the zoning rules, and let's say at the federal level of foreign aid and things like that, and levels of taxation and whatnot. When the line was drawn in the 1960s between who would murder children and who would not, and the who would murder children took over the government and the world, then all of these nefarious activities descended into something much, much darker than any of us perceive on the surface. And when the truth comes out, it'll be horrifying. It'll be absolutely horrifying. Now, how do I know that the governments of the world and the United States and the United Nations and the NGOs, and did you get a shot for that? How do I know it's all been taken over by a bunch of corrupt sex perverts because of what's celebrated in the headlines? Here's the headline. Obama campaign official Peggy Wood and wife killed in car crash. Why is this this is in the New York Post. This is a couple from the Bay Area killed in a car crash in Southern California, but it makes the news all over the country and the New York Post because it goes out on the wire. Why does it go down out on the wire? Because they want that headline that Peggy and her wife were killed in a car crash. Because nobody outside of the Bay Area or maybe the neighborhood where the accident happened, really, this isn't really news to anyone. But it's made news to everyone because they want to force you to look at it. So here's the story. Peggy and her wife, Hope, were passengers in a Jeep. that collided with a Chrysler sedan on Highway 76 near Fallbrook, California, killing them. Now, nobody outside of that neighborhood or the neighborhood where they lived cares about the story at all or would ever need to know about the story. Maybe the family of the 60-year-old man behind the wheel of the Jeep, he was killed. The driver of the Chrysler was killed. It's news to their families. It was not news to anyone else except that the perverts who've conquered everything in the culture and on the planet want to force this headline about a woman and her wife killed. Maureen Wood lived in the Bay Area. They met while campaigning for Barack Obama in 2008. Did everyone notice how everything became exponentially more perverted after Barack Obama took office in 2008? Oh, I think he took office in 2009. After he started openly campaigning. The one Dyke's 25 years of political activism and organizing were highlighted by her open sexual perversion and her work to protect the LGBT community and communities of color. That's another thing I noticed since Obama. Since Obama, everybody lumps the fags in with the colored folks. And I'm sick of it. I won't tolerate it anymore. I simply will not have it. Don't say it's over. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm a there you test. That's how I'm feeling. Yeah, who can take it anymore? I'll tell you. So from the side of the highway along Highway 76, where they scraped up the dikes and all the other people that they got killed. Yeah, forgive me for not weeping. Forgive me. I know I'm supposed to have compassion. And I do. I have compassion for all of the people whose lives these two dykes and all of the other perverts that they're associated with. I have compassion for all the lives that they have damaged. And save for them having repented and changed their ways, save for that, the next best thing was for them to depart the planet. Okay, so let's just move on from there because I wouldn't want to offend anyone or make anyone uncomfortable. Let's go to the widespread panic file where there are new reports on the monkeypox. That's right, they've changed the name of monkeypox to mpox because for some reason leftists thought that monkeypox would offend black people. Remember? And then all of us were like, well, why would that offend black people? Are you saying black people remind you of monkeys, all of you communist leftist fanatics who freak out over words? Yes, that's what you're saying. Subconsciously, you associate black people with monkeys. That's what came out. And we thought that would be the end of the monkeypox thing, just that it would expose the hypocrisy and racism of the left. But no, monkeypox will not go away. The Centers for Disease... I think I'll just leave it at that. The Centers for Disease in Washington, D.C. is warning Americans about mpox. That's monkeypox. That's right. They say monkeypox cases have declined. Wow. But they're still urging caution. Why? The CDC is ramping up surveillance and advising people to get vaccinated and take precautions. Now, these aren't the same type of precautions they are recommending against the wave of terrorism expected against the LGBTQPI community. Nope, these are the traditional precautions that they have advised for all sex perverts ever for the last 40 years. Those type of precautions. Why? Because monkeypox are on the increase. Here's what, let's see, this is from yahoo.com, which I think is the Associated Press. Here's what the experts want you to know. I put a question mark. I crossed that out and I said, here's what the experts want you to think. The resurgence of monkeypox is blah, 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 blah. Propaganda, propaganda, blah, blah, blah. Whatever they go on for two paragraphs about monkeypox. And then they note that in Africa, almost 1,000 people have died of the latest version of the monkeypox. Yep. And interestingly, more than two-thirds of those were children. And so now you stop and you think, okay, I know this is just a propaganda piece designed to pump up monkeypox and, I don't know, keep me afraid. I'm not sure what it's all about anymore, to be honest with you. I think that the news media, part of it may be that the news media found out that reporting on disease scares people and they click it, and that might be what it's all about. Just clickbait to get whatever, drive up ad rates because, you know, a scary disease. I mean, they were able to keep everyone in virtual hysteria for the better part of a year. And so that might be it. But for whatever reason, they're pumping the monkeypox story. They say 1,000 people have died from this latest wave. Two-thirds are children. And then they report, as the outbreak continues, men who have sex with men are still at the highest risk for infection. By the way, men who have sex with men, that's a politically correct way to refer to faggots, sex perverts, deviants, abominations. That's okay. It's the politically correct way. And so you're reading the article and you're thinking, well, if it's homo sex perverts who are most at risk, why are two-thirds of the dead in Africa children? Are we not supposed to make the connection here? What's going on in Africa? Are there any NGOs involved? I'd like to know. I think there might be. Anyway, just a disturbing little fact. Here's what the experts don't want you to know. Okay, and this is from, or here at the Weekly Worldview. The experts don't want you to know that if you're not a faggot or some otherwise promiscuous sex pervert, or if you're not a child accessible to one of those perverts and faggots, then you have nothing to worry about the monkeypox. But that's the experts don't want you to know that. And they don't want you to make any connections between the people dying from monkeypox and the sex perverts and the children and all of that. Just be afraid. Be generally afraid and stand by for more news on monkeypox because we'll be forthcoming. All right, so from Africa and the strange, strange monkeypox outbreak, if you can even believe any of that's true. I mean, how can we even know if any of that's true? And this is the unfortunate thing about living circa 2024, is you read a story like this from yahoo.com, and it could all be totally fake. There might be no dead children in Africa. There might be no monkeypox. That's kind of disconcerting to think about that, but that's where we are. I have no way to find out if there's actually monkeypox happening. That's unfortunate. I think I'll get to something about that a little later in the show. If the show continues and I don't just walk off the set right now, which I am considering doing. But I am drawn to reason number 1,254 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. And for that, of course, we go to Colorado, where on April 19th, Campus Middle School in Colorado required staff to show a video and distribute information encouraging students to participate in the LGBTQ+ Day of Silence. The Day of Silence. They forgot the I there. They must not have got the memo on the I. A public school in Colorado, by the way, part of the Cherry Creek School District, which is one of the good districts. I remember when we were selling our house in Colorado, the agent said, oh, you're in the Cherry Creek District. That'll be good. And we almost felt ashamed to put that in the listing, the school district. We thought that was taking advantage of people to lure them in. Oh, Cherry Creek schools. Those are the good schools. That's Campus Middle School is part of the Cherry Creek School District. In fact, I think that's where all the kids in our neighborhood went to middle school, if I remember correctly. So they have videos and information about the Day of Silence for the queers. The school district didn't confirm or deny the authenticity of the documents and videos that were shared with the Daily Signal, where I got this story from the Daily Signal. A district representative confirmed that parents were not notified, and that's where we're supposed to get upset. Not that the school's piled high full of sex perverts and child molesters who want to show dirty movies to the kids, but that they wouldn't tell the parents about it. So parents were not notified, and so now mom and dad take notice. Here, we've got a quote from dad, Carl. Carl Derenbach. Carl Deer in the headlights. He's the dad. I believe schools and parents should work together to educate their children. And you're like, wait a minute, dad, did you say their children? Did you actually say that, dad? So now we can see that it's not just the schools that are the problem. Dad calls his children their children. Anyway, Carl, deer in the headlights, Derenbach, told the Daily Signal, you know, when schools hide activism like the Day of Silence for LGBTQ+, when they hide that from parents, it diminishes trust. Unquote. Diminishes trust. It exposes nefarious, deviant corruption that's threatening your child directly. That's a little more serious than diminishing trust, Dad. Dad goes on, why wouldn't they tell us about this? Oh, God. Dad, that's because they plan on molesting your son. They're not going to tell you about that either, Dad. Get your kid out. Dad would have wanted to have been told because he says, if we were told, we could discuss it with our children.
No way.
Yeah, that's what he says. And then, as if the headlight came on in his brain, Dad says, quote, what else are they not telling us? What do you think, Pops? My goodness, how quickly we have raised a generation of imbeciles, and they're raising children. It's a failure on a civilizational level. It's catastrophic. There's no way to recover from having a citizenry this stupid and pathetic. There's no way you can carry off a civilization like this on the shoulders of people like this. It can't happen. So, I mean, batten down the hatches and get ready. This is all coming to an end. Because people like this, Carl, deer in the headlights, Derenbach, they're not allowed to keep a civilization like this. They're incapable of it. And they're now raising the next generation, whoever can survive. It's terrifying. It's terrifying. Keep your powder dry and be prepared. Number one is prepare your heart before the Lord. That's the number one thing. Because no matter what happens on this earth, It's going to be just a short little blip in the timeline of your entire history. So prepare your heart before the Lord. Look into the claims of Jesus Christ. Find out what he says you need to do so that he can protect you from what's about to come down. Because he can't. I mean, not the physical part. You'll have to suffer through that because we all have to. But from the long-term damage, the long-term eternal spiritual damage, Jesus Christ has promised that he can protect you from that. And that all you have to do is believe in that promise. He even died to do it and rose again. Anyway, that's my advice, is be prepared. Meanwhile, as I want you to look into that, we have another story from the Queering of America file, where down in South Carolina, Republican legislators have passed a bill to prohibit sex change operations and puberty-blocking drugs and cross-sex hormones and any kind of genital surgery to anyone under 18 years old. Moronic Republicans not realizing that by passing a law like this, they have legitimized the practice on people who are over 18. Now, I know you would say, well, Doug, it was already legal. Well, okay, I know it was already legal. Maybe it wasn't already legal, by the way. Maybe there was no laws about anything like this because nobody ever thought about doing this before. This is so insane. But now we've got a law that says if you're under 18, there are certain regulations. By the way, this isn't a ban on anything. It doesn't prohibit anything. The governor is expected to sign the law beginning on August 31st, proving that it's not actually an emergency and nobody really cares. This is all just rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic as we enjoy the shrimp on the way to the bottom of the sea. The law, the so-called prohibition, will exempt minors who are currently taking these drugs, and it will not ban the use of puberty blockers for children with actual diagnosed precocious puberty or other procedures unrelated to gender transition. Which, what does that mean? It means whatever you want. I mean, you got doctors who are willing to mutilate children because they're deranged sex perverts. They'll figure out a way to make the paperwork match up. I mean, that's my suspicion. The bill prohibits public school staff from keeping secrets regarding gender from parents. Now, why would that be in the law? Why would that be in the law about mutilating children surgically? Why would they have to put in there, disband public schools? Does that give you a clue as to where all this is being hatched? Does that give you a clue as to where the crime is being planned and perpetrated? It's happening in the government schools. The bill states following. A nurse, counselor, teacher, principal, or other official or staff. Tell you, written by lawyers, right? Do you have to mention? How come you don't mention the janitor by name? Yeah. How come you don't mention the guy who stripes the parking lot? You bunch of... Anyway... And that's how ridiculous it is to write laws against stuff like this. If you need laws against stuff like this, it's time to Katie bar the door. I'm leaving town. This is why you got to get your kids out of the schools. They cannot, let's get back to the law. They shall not knowingly withhold from a minor parent, legal guardian information related to minor participation or gender inconsistent with that. Blah, 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 blah. They shall not knowingly withhold. What does that mean? Well, let's go to court and figure it out. Let's employ 14 lawyers for the next 18 months in your case so that we can figure out what all that means. Meanwhile, the children are being molested and mutilated in the schools. So when you ban this type of mutilation and abuse on people who are under 18, you've now legitimized that type of abuse and mutilation for adults and... You have also rendered the topic officially negotiable. Meaning, right? Now that there's a law on the books restricting this to some degree, it's now a negotiable thing. Which means eventually, even the mutilation and abuse of people under 18 will be legalized, and everyone will agree that it was all done according to a reasonable process. It's the Weekly Worldview. I don't care so much for the keyboards in the background, but it does kind of fill it out. But I personally wouldn't put that in there. I would just put another track of thicker guitar under there. But okay. Anyone who thinks that you can regulate this type of behavior by a reasonable... secular process, you are incorrect. This is the highway to insanity and bloodshed and murder and just horrible, awful, terrible days. That's what this is. The fact that this is even discussed, this shouldn't even be allowed. People who bring this up should be arrested. They're criminals. And anything beyond that is insanity. And I will not entertain it, not one inch. No. You're not even allowed to bring it up. Nobody is allowed to advocate criminal behavior as if it is not criminal. And so therein lies the problem is that we've allowed things to be defined as not criminal that are criminal. And how do you go back? I don't think you can. I don't think that happens. I think that what happens is your civilization descends into something resembling hell until someone bigger and stronger comes and slaughters and enslaves you and takes over. That's how I think history works. So, you know, not to bum anybody out. Yeah. I should just tell you that I'm eternally optimistic and everything's going to be fine. Well, I am eternally optimistic. Just not so optimistic about how things are going to go in the not too distant future here on the planet Earth, here in the United States of America. So please prepare yourselves. Now let's do, let's see. This is, I don't know how, this is from the widespread cowardice file. I'm not sure I understand it because the very first sentence is Weston McMahon was born at just 1 pound, 6 ounces. For those of you who matriculate in the government schools, that is 22 ounces. 22 ounces at just 25 weeks. His mom, Kaylee, is 18 years old. She's a student from Birmingham, Alabama. She says Weston is now doing really well. He proved everyone wrong. I mean, the doctors thought the kid's a goner 25 weeks. Those babies don't survive. He survived. And so if anyone ever wanted to use the term miraculous, I mean, were it not for the NICU and the ventilator and the hundreds of thousands of dollars of medical care, I would use the term miraculous. This is pretty impressive, okay? Just short of miraculous, even in my economy. Mom Kaylee says she can't wait to take him home. She said, I will be able to hold him every day with no fears. Because she's been terrified, right? He's been on the, I'm sure it's been back and forth every day. So she's looking forward to holding him every day with no fears. And so I'm thinking, why is this in the widespread cowardice file? Why? I don't get it. This is a feel-good story. And then I realized, I read the whole story, read it twice, and I realized the word father does not appear in the article. Why? Well, it's one of two things, or maybe both. Number one, I would assume he's not around. Kaylee's an 18-year-old student from Birmingham, Alabama. So chances are dad is not involved. Now, if he is, and it's possible that he is, I don't know. I'm not there. But there is a ban on stories like this from ever mentioning the father, ever. That is something that's been drilled into the head of urinalists at urinalism schools for at least two decades. Three decades. Going back to the 90s. Fathers were banned from all media unless absolutely necessary. Sometime in the 1990s, I remember when it happened. We documented it over on Bob and Yart Live, I'm sure. Go back. Listen to all the tapes. You'll find it. So the word father doesn't appear because there is no father involved. Now, there is a father. So I just want to warn Kaylee. Despite all your optimism and how great you feel right now and the fact that the news media has given you some attention, without a husband, Kaylee, to take care of you and your baby, you will never hold your child without fears. That you won't. It's going to be scary and terrifying. So we pray that a man who's not a coward, like whoever impregnated you, Kaylee, we pray that a man who is not a coward comes along and is able to take care of you and your baby. So that's I'll add that to my prayer list for Kaylee. I'll add her to my growing prayer list. And you should too, because she needs help. She doesn't realize it now because everyone's telling her everything's great. Everything's fantastic. Everything's wonderful. It's not. It's a mess. It's a disaster waiting to happen. It's one more child to be fed into the belly of the beast. And it's very sad. And only a strong man who knows God can save Kaylee and little baby Weston from that fate. That really makes the feminists go nuts when I say that. Fate. Oh, yeah. This is... If a strong man who knows God doesn't come along, that it's almost predestined. The tragic outcome of this child's life. So sad. Now, from there, let's go to another story about a child from the Real Science File. 18-year-old Opal Sandy is a little British girl. She was born deaf, and she has regained her hearing thanks to a new gene therapy she received at Addenbrooke's in Cambridge. She can now hear without an external device. The gene therapy, listen to this, was performed operatively under general anesthesia, meaning she was unconscious. This is a full-on surgery. A virus containing the genetic information was injected into the cochlea of her right ear. The virus enters and releases the genetic material into the cells of the cochlea of her ear. It delivers a copy of the gene material to the cells that helps restore function. She received the therapy in her right ear, and she received a cochlear implant in her left ear. Because it's an experimental surgery, they don't want to do it on both ears, because then maybe they can never salvage any hearing. Anyway, you read the story, and I'm like, oh, well, if this works, great. That's great. But now, so since I've educated myself on genetics and how the genes function and what they do, the more I read about that, the more I realize we have very little understanding of how genes work and what they do. So do we really know enough about genetics and genetic function to be playing around with rewriting the code in an 18-month-old child? I suspect that we do not. And so I just know that were it my child and there were a choice between a cochlear implant or deafness or gene therapy, I wouldn't do gene therapy. I wouldn't. It's too scary for me. I mean, I know we think we know all this stuff, but trust me, we don't know much at all. And going in there and tweaking the genes so that she can hear, okay, well, that's great, but I wouldn't do it. I'm a little too afraid. I'm color me scared. So there's certain things that you should be scared of, and gene therapy is, that should scare you. All right. That's all. Just have a healthy respect for the, not complexity, because it's a lot more than that, for the extraordinary sophistication of genetics and everything that's going on at that level. I don't think that's anywhere we should be playing. That's all. And by the way, I hope I'm completely wrong about Opal Sandy, the 18-month-old. I hope I pray to God that it's a miracle cure. I do. I hope so. It just scares me. All right. Meanwhile, from the Justice File, pro-life activist Lauren Handy has been sentenced to 4 years and 9 months in prison. That's right, prison. Why? She organized what Just the News calls a blockade at an abortion clinic in 2020. What was the blockade? It was an old lady and some other old people sitting down in front of the door until they were removed by the police by force. That's a blockade. Yeah, no. There might be a blockade outside Rafa right now, but there was not a blockade at the abortion clinic. Just the News. They're conservatives, by the way. But here's the thing, and I forget, where did I read this? I was reading an article about communism and leftism and socialism. Oh, it was Hayek. I'm reading a book by Hayek. I'll have to write the title down because I can't remember it. It's something about science and how we've all been suckered into and deceived by scientism and science. F.A. Hayek. German economist. Anyway, I'll get the title next time if I come back and do the show again. Anyway, he said, the thing we don't realize when we argue with the left is that quite often we're using their terminology. We're using their words and we're arguing things on their terms, which means they've already won. And so that's what's happening here. Just the News calls it a blockade. A blockade? An old lady tries to block the door for a few minutes. You call that a blockade? By the way, when you use the word like blockade, that implies she should go to prison. Nobody should be allowed to blockade things, for crying out loud, civilized society. So this old lady sat down in front of a door at an abortion clinic for a few minutes and then was arrested and charged under the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances, the FACE law. The Justice Department requested 6 years. The judge, for whatever reason, handed down 4 years and 9 months just to be creative. And, you know, the judge wants to have his own say because he's a god. He's a god in his own eyes. The Justice Department is going to tell him what to do. So he sentences her to 4 years and 9 months. Handy's attorney. So there's a couple things. First of all, her attorneys, here's what they argued in court. They argued that she was attempting to rescue preborn children from an abortionist who Mrs. Handy believed performed illegal late-term abortions. And so that's not true. Ms. Handy had no idea what kind of abortions, whether they were legal, illegal, late-term, early, 6 week, 12 week. Mrs. Handy sat in front of the clinic to stop the killing of all innocent children. But her filthy, disgusting lawyers went into court and lied. Why? Because they were trying to keep her out of jail. Why? Because they're deviants. Why? Because the system is rigged toward taking everyone straight to hell. And Mrs. Handy, she's just a little old lady. So I'm not gonna beat up on her for being taken advantage of by a bunch of sharks and liars. She didn't care about when. And I don't know her personally, but I know people who do this, and they don't. That's not. Yeah, she wasn't concerned whether the abortions were illegal. She was saying that all the abortions happening that day should be illegal, all of them. But her lawyers go in there and they lie and lie and lie. And then she gets thrown in jail anyway. Mm-hmm. By the way, this lady, and I'm calling her a little old lady. I don't know her age, but I'm just assuming that she's over 60. I'll just bet. That's just a guess. This is the very first person ever convicted under the FACE law. Ever. The first person convicted on charges under the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act. She may be the first person ever convicted, or maybe the first person to ever actually go to prison. I'm not sure about that.
Where is this again?
Washington, D.C. But here's how effective the Satan is and his minions at running the world. Just the threat of the FACE-type laws, the rumor of them in the early 1990s effectively ended the rescue movement. I remember Bob Enyart told the story. I've looked for it. It doesn't seem to have written it down. But he tells a story about, I think it was the Summer of Mercy, which was 91 maybe. And he tells a story about all of the people who had been arrested and been in jail, and they got out of jail and they all got together and they had a big meeting, and the leadership said that if we go back, they're threatening to take us to jail, and this time they're going to take away our houses, and they're going to take away our... We might go to jail for 10 years. They were threatening these FACE-type laws, and the way Bob Enyart tells the story, that night the rescue movement ended. It ended that night when every one of the husbands and wives and fathers and mothers and brothers said, they looked at each other and they said, we're not willing to risk our house. We're not willing to risk our long-term freedom. We were willing to go to jail to make a statement, but we're not willing to actually go the whole way. And the movement ended in a moment. What should have galvanized the movement into sacrificial war footing actually destroyed the movement, which, by the way, tells you something about the Jesus movement of the 1960s and 70s. It did not produce the most resilient and dedicated generation of Christians. That's all. And I'll leave it at that. Not that I could do any better. I didn't do any better. I never went and sacrificed myself. Let's see. So what I was trying to get at was that these FACE laws have stopped Christians from sacrificially putting themselves in between the killers and the victims for 25 years until Lauren Handy and a few others, by the way, decided to purposely violate FACE. And so there are a number of friends of mine, Cal Zastro and others, who have decided they're purposely going to take FACE to court, and they're willing to Well, here, she's going to go to prison for a while. At least a couple, 3 years. Even with good behavior. And so, praise the Lord. I'm glad that there are some Christians out there who realize that it is time for a sacrificial tactic in the battle. Yeah, I'm not able to participate because I'm too weak and selfish. So I'll just admit it, I am. And I'm glad that there are some folks out there who are not. Let's see now. Is there anything? I don't know that I can really do anything after that. Let me see. should we close in Peru? Let's go to Peru from the Stone Cold Crazy file. We'll close out the show in Peru. Down in Peru, it's a socialist government. Well, like everywhere on Earth, for pretty much all of all time. I mean, since Nimrod. Almost all governments have been socialist. Almost all people have been slaves throughout all of history. There was a brief blip of history for a few hundred years from the ascent of the British Empire to the decline and fall of the United States of America, in which there was a government that wasn't socialist and there were people that weren't slaves. But that was a brief period of time, and that's over with. Because if you've looked at your tax return, and you're a slave. I'm a slave. We're all slaves to the socialist masterminds. So once again, so whatever it is that we had for that brief blip of history, it's over. And it's not going to get worse before it gets better. It's going to get worse before it gets worse, more than likely. So down in Peru, they have a socialist government that enslaves their people down there, and they hand out health care because that's what socialists do. They like to lord over the life and health of everyone. And so and people seem to be enamored with that. Having other people in charge of their life and health, I'm not sure I understand why that is, but that's the way it is. And so down in Peru, mental health services are doled out by the government, by the socialist welfare system. And now they're aware of the fact that the trans community requires mental health services. Imagine that. You got a bunch of people confused about whether they're boys or girls, and it turns out they need mental health services. So, in an odd turn of events, an odd legalistic turn of events, the Peruvian government has officially classified transgender, non-binary, and intersex people as mentally ill. That's right. Why? So that they can dole out mental health money for them. So we're sorry, we didn't mean to insult you, but we had to classify you as deranged. Oh, I'm sorry, mentally ill, in order to dole out the government cheese that we give to the other mentally ill people. So this is the wrong decision made for the wrong reason. And this just reminds me, by the way, the term mentally ill, I don't like that term anymore. I've come to realize that it's a fake term that was made up relatively recently to obfuscate the presence of sin and guilt in a situation. To obfuscate the presence of sin and guilt, we use the term mentally ill. It's like a psychological band-aid to try to hide the... You know, if you have a disease or you're deranged or you're insane, that's one thing. Well, I guess that's three things. If you're any one of those three things, you have a physical disease in your brain or you're genuinely deranged or insane, well, you need help. Medical, possibly psychological help. But mentally ill is just a modern Western construct made up so that we all wouldn't feel so bad about having lost the civilization that God gave us. I just feel bad about it, okay? And it's not because I'm mentally ill. It's because I'm a selfish sinner, and I should have done more, and I didn't, but I can do it now. And so can you. And that's why the Weekly Worldview is here. And so, should we return next week? Lord willing, We'll return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you. And may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.